Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on the magical isle of Vashon in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio. Voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band, and of course, streaming live to Captain Joe's people all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. My greetings today are twofold. The first greetings go out to all of those who are firefighters. And I'm going to connect that greeting to all who are firefighters, and in particular those who are fighting the forest fires, the fires on shore all over the Pacific Northwest, and connected to also a story about a shipboard fire in yet another Navy ship. So my greetings go out to those who are always in harm's way as they fight fires, because it is inherently a dangerous proposition. And I know that all of you have been trained to get into those emergency shelters. And I am confident that you will get all of these fires under control. My second greetings go out to every single one of Captain Joe's people who in the last week have sent me some sort of strengthening message. And they have come in all sorts of forms. And sometimes they are texts, sometimes they are emails, sometimes they are telephone calls. I had a telephone call from a retired chief who was with me in two of my ships, both Reliance and in Northwind. And I am going to, and Chief, I believe that you told me when we talked on the telephone that you listened to my broadcast. So this is my greeting in particular to you and to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world who have sent me messages. And I have to tell you that I am so far behind in keeping up with and replying to and acknowledging all of these wonderful strengthening messages. It only serves to remind me that I am indeed the most fortunate of men. And I do indeed at this point need to take a swallow of a strengthening fluid, because when I get to the binnacle list and I get to an update on my situation, I have to report that things are in a holding pattern right now. So I'm going to take a few seconds for a restorative sip of warm coffee from the Black Rifle Coffee Company. All right, here we go, back up in the captain's chair. The binnacle list today has one crossing of the bar, and that is His Majesty the King of Norway. You might well say, well, Captain Joe, why are you recognizing the crossing of his particular bar, the King of Norway? And the answer to that is not a simple one. I hold a special affection for the Kingdom of Norway, as do I for the Kingdom of Sweden, because I have family in the Kingdom of Sweden. But in particular, the Kingdom of Norway, when I was in my second year at the Coast Guard Academy, the summer cruise of the second year there, my third class year, was the first stop that we made in Eagle was in Norway. And I fell in love with Inger. The embassy had put together a big party for all the cadets, and they had rounded up all of these lovely Norske flicka. And I met and fell in love with Inger. This love affair lasted as long until we got to the next port, which was Le Havre. And it was there that I was able to go from Le Havre to Paris and spend a week with my aunt, who was stationed there in the State Department. And thus began my love affair with Paris in particular and France in general, a love affair which has lasted to this day. Alas, the one with Inger did not. And so I also, because I am a polar person, and because I am in particular a member of the Scott Polar Research Institute, the Norwegians have a special place in the hearts of all polar people, because not only was Fridtjof Nansen Norwegian, but Raoul Amundsen, who made the first run and successful run to the South Pole, was also Norwegian. And we talked last week about Nansen's ownership of Fram, and you can go to see Fram in the Fram Museum, and at the bow of Fram is a bust of Fridtjof Nansen, and it's made out of brass, and generations of children have rubbed the nose of Fridtjof Nansen, and it remains today somewhat smaller and diminished than the actual nose of Fridtjof Nansen. The other, before we get to my update, short and pithy, I hope, I control that, so it will be. I have one of my oldest friends, both in terms of chronology and in terms of membership as a friend, Gary, here on the magical Isle of Vashon, is having a really rough go of it, and I am planning to spend some time with Gary once I get my schedule set up for radiation. My friend and co-pilot on the transcontinental trip, Pam, has had some serious orthopedic problems going on, and I'm looking here at my... And another friend, one of Truman's relatives by marriage, one of Captain O'Brien's relatives by marriage, Penny, who is one of the horse ladies, has taken a fall. And on top of that, I'm looking across at the church across the way, and the sign at the church over the sign says, "School is back, drive safely." I want everybody to drive alertly, with lookouts posted as far forward in the eyes of the ship as possible. Because not only do children run out into the street, but deer run out into the street in particular. So my binnacle list has all of those people by name and all of the people on the Coast Guard channel, some of whose names I do not have. Bill and John. And I always run the risk of missing somebody. So in order not to miss anybody, everybody in particular on the Coast Guard channel who is also on the binnacle list, know that you are all in the palm of my hand, and know that the concentrated energy of all of us is headed in your personal direction. And that comes from the captain's chair on the magical Isle of Vashon. My own personal situation is one of frustration with the administrative side. The medical side, the people are wonderful, and they're very professional, and they are all becoming Captain Joe's people. And not only is this going to be a significant medical event in your captain's life, but it's also we're going to have some fun with it. But we have, in order to have some fun with it and in order for it to happen at all, we have to get on the schedule. And that's where things need a little bit of work. I talked last week about a master chief or senior chief or chief yeoman, Coast Guard, helping them to figure out how to manage the scheduling, because I still have not got on the schedule the beginning of the radiation process. And we need to get to it soon because it is making itself evident to me more and more intensely every day. So I have left signals and messages all over the Pacific Northwest, and I'm awaiting with barely concealed anticipation, to say nothing of unalloyed eagerness, for those return calls and people saying, "Captain Joe, come in tomorrow, or come in on Friday, or come in Saturday, or instead of going to high mass at the cathedral in downtown Seattle, come to the Swedish Cancer Institute. For yea, I will go anywhere, anytime, in order to get this thing moving." And that's what I have to say about all of that. I have, instead of a book in a magazine this week, I have two books. They were a gift to me from Fred, who ordered them and paid for them. And they are from the poet laureate emeritus of the state of Washington, Sam Green, who is also a Coast Guard veteran and also a Vietnam veteran. The second one is by his wife, Sally. And I bring those up because, especially for the Coast Guard people, Sam in his, which is entitled Sage and Discipline, and it has on it a cover painting, and I could not tell from the painting exactly what it was, and I reported that to Dr. Green, and he then sent me a cleaned-up version of the cover photograph or cover painting. And I can see now that it is fowl, birds. But what is important about this particular book is the contents. Sam is not only the poet laureate emeritus, but he is also one of us, aware of the shield. And much of his work has to do with his time in Vietnam. He was a quartermaster in the Coast Guard cutter Black Hawk, and Black Hawk was responsible for planting, servicing, and maintaining many of the aids to navigation all along the Vietnam coast. Many of the poems have to do with Sam's being taught by leading petty officers, chiefs and leading petty officers, and the good that came out of it for him and his life. When the parcel arrived, I opened it up with great anticipation, and I was not disappointed. The title again is Sage and Disciple. The subtitle is New and Selected Poems by Samuel Green. It has a inscription in it to me, and it has so many wonderful dedications in it. There's a long list of in memoriam, people that influenced Sam in his life. And there's a shorter list of people who it is for. But the real dedication is for Sally, his wife, 56 years together, without whom there would have been no poems. As I went through the book and was putting myself into the place, into his place, as he went through some of the Vietnam experiences, which he has now codified into poems, as well as the other poems, I came across one that has the following title, and I'm going to read it to you because it struck me in a particular way. The title of this particular poem is Wife Descending a Spiral Staircase. I made those stairs myself, notched each tread into the trunk of a fir that grew in a long, languid curve for light, so that the stairs are a spiral. Duchamp had it just right, how it is all about time, how she is both at the top of the stairs facing me and at the bottom where the view is all her back. Orange cat draped across the shoulders of her winter robe like a fur cape. She is 19 and 62. And all the years between, and at each tread, I am still loving her. Whether I am here to see, or whether she is there to be seen. And this poem struck me in particular because I do not have a spiral staircase. I have a straight one. But all the way up until the end of her life, Mary R. would begin her day by coming down that staircase. And at the last 2 months of her life, she was having more and more trouble doing it. And I was beginning to get worried that she would take a fall. And this trouble had to do with joints, with arthritis. And I was working out in my mind how I was going to tell her that we were moving downstairs because we were using the upstairs bedroom suite and we would lie in bed together and look up through the skylight and see the Douglas firs swaying back and forth. And she would say, Joseph, aren't you worried that one of those is going to fall on us? No, Mary R., I am not worried about that. And I would watch her come down those stairs, and I would be working out in my mind how I was going to make that happen, because it was becoming clear to me that we were not going to be able to stay upstairs much longer. And then, of course, she died, and so that particular problem was taken away from me, and I continued to live upstairs. But I identified immediately with the poem that Sam had written about Sally coming down the stairs. I thank you for that, Sally and Sam, and I thank you for the memory, and I thank you for the lovely way that that particular poem is constructed. Sally's book is called Tending the Flock by Sally Green, and it has a painting on the cover which is very clear. One knows immediately what it is. It's a rooster. And I went through hers, and of course, she does not have any Vietnam ones, but she has a number of poems that talk about, first of all, her Aunt Mabel, and secondly, that she talks about her life with Sam on this little island called Waldron, which I have never been to, and then I don't think Sam has ever been to my island, so we need to put that together. And in any case, I went through her book, and I found a number of them that I would want to read, but I only have a certain amount of time to do that. And besides, I want you all to buy the books. The publisher is, by the way, I'm looking for the publisher. It's published by Empty Bowl, Chimicum, Washington. So I don't know whether Sam owns Empty Bowl. You could send him a signal. So anyway, I'm going to read one of the ones that I particularly liked in Sally's book. Here's a title that I would if I had the time. So here's one that she wrote for an anniversary that she had. I'm looking for it here. I had it marked, and then somehow I missed the somehow. Here we go. Here we go. So this one is anniversary for Sam from Sally. In the early evening, you call from downstairs. Tell me to look through the skylight above the spiral stairway. There's that spiral staircase again. I step into a circle of darkness on the landing. You below in muted light cast from a kerosene lamp. And see a half moon expertly framed behind the glass. Even though the other half is barely visible, we know it is there. So utterly close. Sally, love, thank you so much for that. And thank you both for these wonderful books. I look forward to reading them several times over so that I get the full flavor of all of it. The first one is by Sam himself. It's called Sage and Disciple, New and Selected Poems. And this one is White Pine Press. And Sally's is Empty Bowl Press. And so I want you all, if you are of a mind to read poetry, and if you are of a mind to read something that is produced by those of us, then I highly recommend both Sage and Disciple and Tending the Flock. So I took a lot of time on that, but I took a lot of time on it because those two books really struck into my heart. And I want them to strike into yours as well. No matter what your particular proclivities are, in each one of those books, you'll find a verse that will come right into the very depths of your heart, as did it with your captain's black heart. We're going to take a couple of things that have happened over the last week and talk about them briefly because we only have a few minutes left. First one is that this is a personal observation. There are two things that have happened to me as I became became an octogenarian. The first one was that I started to be a real oaf, a clod, completely foreign to my nature and to my behavior. I don't know whether it has something to do with balance. I don't know what it has to do with anything, but it sure as hell is happening. I bump into things, I drop things, things fly away from me. I tell you all of this because maybe out there one or more of Captain Joe's people. If you're in Stockholm and you're riding your bicycle and you're watching all of the Svenska Flicka in their summer frocks, and you have a tendency to fall off the bicycle, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, Doctor. Those of you out there who are close to my own chronological age. If you either drop things or you touch something and it flies off your desk and goes down behind the radiator along with all of those ballots that I keep reminding people to go back there and get them out when it's voting time. When all of those things happen, then you are with me. The second thing that's happening is that I keep losing things. I made a list. And as I find something, I cross it off the list. Up until yesterday, that list had six things on it that I had misplaced somewhere. One of them was my rigging knife. I had used it to open a parcel, possibly even the parcel that contained the two books from the Green family on Waldron Island. Anyway, I put it down someplace, and it has gone walkabouts. Now, I do not go anyplace without a rigging knife in my starboard pocket. So I went to the wooden boat store, which is where I buy them, and I bought another one. It seems to me that when the wooden boat store staff sees that it's from Captain Joe, that I get really good service, because within a very short period of time, as in 2 days, I had a replacement rigging knife. I have to say that the one that has gone walkabouts has not yet made an appearance, nor have four of the other five things. Now, one would think, at my advanced chronological age, that we would be at the point where this sort of thing would not happen. That's what I think. And if it's happening to you, then once again, join the Brotherhood. Climb up in the captain's chair with me, because I really want these things back. I'll keep looking for them. I send Sailor out on search and rescue missions. Blossom's a lost cause when it comes to SAR missions. She's right now just been cleaned up by Michelle. That's Michelle, who owns the string of kitty vending machines all over the island. And she did a cleanup job on Blossom, and now Blossom looks like a little tiny black rat. Blossom is a complete loser when it comes to SAR missions. Sailor's pretty good, but even he has not located any of these things. I am in receipt of All Coast 267/26. And it tells me that on the 18th of October, 1974, the Coast Guard Cutterman insignia was established. I was in that first group of Cuttermen. It came with a certificate printed on, it looked to me, maybe on the back of old paper charts, but it was not a particularly well-presented certificate, but it was a start. And I was delighted to be recognized as one of the first cuttermen in the Coast Guard. I treasure that designation to this very day. I am so proud of it that I, whenever I get the opportunity, I mention that I am indeed a proud Coast Guard cutterman. To recognize all of this, the Coast Guard has established a Eight Bells recognition ceremony in October, and part of this is the opportunity to write a essay, which I might well be able to do. The watch is telling me that once again we have come to the end of our time together, and there was a lot that I wanted to get to, and yet I have no regrets, because I really wanted to talk about Sam and Sally Green's and their books, and I want you to get them and read them and enjoy them as much as I did. This is your Captain Joe. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And as always, and until you hear from me otherwise, I am up in the captain's chair. I am in full command. And as always, I am on station and watching properly.